KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
Well, you've made it to Friday, and August is just around the corner. Last week, during our final segment of the show, last week on Friday, I visited with Brian Cochran, touching on the topic of generosity and charitable planning. It's kind of a theme, and if you missed the opportunity to hear that, we'd encourage you to go back to abqconnect.online and find where it's archived. But today, Brian's joining us for the full hour on, you know, similar generosity for the most part is going to be our topic. But Brian, thanks again so much for taking the time. This is going to be a great hour.
Yeah, always a fun topic, always a relevant topic to dive into generosity. So happy to do that with you.
Yeah. Well, you know, Brian, it's not, it's not often that we don't mention the topic of stewardship. And I want to call, the listeners' attention to not only conversations you and I have had, but Monday through Friday at 4:30 in the morning, and at 11:30, we get a chance to hear Faith and Finance with Rob West. Always great conversations, and it's another, you know, it's another place where regularly on this station the listener is hearing about stewardship, it's important, I think, that we kind of revisit what that mindset is. I mean, even just on July 29th, a couple days ago, Sharon Epps was on with Rob West on the broadcast talking about how to cultivate generosity in your family. You know, it's just a topic that it should be regularly coming up. Along with that is the connection to stewardship. And I think you'll articulate it much better than I. But the idea of having a stewardship mindset where it's just, you know, what do we say? Practice makes permanent.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. I think we'll get to talk today about, you know, going deeper into a true lifestyle generosity, not just the act of giving. You know, those are two very different things.
Yeah. And it's funny, earlier this week, I forget where I saw it. And it was a mainstream news headline, but, oh, I think it was maybe the president of Hobby Lobby or something, said that he doesn't own Hobby Lobby. And his whole mindset was exactly what we're talking about. He used the word stewardship, and he said, it's God's. I'm just a steward, to direct, you know, how things happen and make sure that we are stewarding this well, and honoring God in the process. And I thought, you know, for a mainstream news article, what a great opportunity that he had, to share some of the things we're going to be talking about. But if you could go a little more into that and just remind people, it's not just with our finances, but much more.
Yeah. I mean, the Bible is very clear that everything in the earth belongs to God. And the folks that I know that often are the most wise with their finances are people who truly live out the mindset of a steward, that they hold things very open-handed. They say, this is God, so he can place things in my hand. He can take things out of my hand, whether it be their relationships, their ministry, or their work. Their personal finances are just one part of that. And it's an incredible mindset to carry, because we're fighting this sense we have as humans that everything is ours and I earn this and this is mine to control. And sometimes it turns into a greed mindset, but if anything, it's just an ownership and control issue that we struggle with daily. And I think even the folks who have it figured out still have to fight off that human tendency to feel like it's ours. And there is a significant emotional benefit, I think, to letting go of the things that we believe are under our ownership when really they're not, and to take that role of a steward. It's still an obligation. It's a responsibility. So there's still a burden there, but it frees us of this sense that, the outcome's up to us because we own things.
Brian, you've been doing this a long time, practicing the stewardship mindset. Is it too far gone to think back to an area where maybe you had difficulty understanding that, it wasn't yours, whether it was finances or something else, and really getting to a point where it was knee-jerk reaction for you to act in a way that you were acting as a steward and not an owner?
I think the biggest area for me personally, Steve, is in the area of my business ownership. So the world would say that I own the corporation that I lead, the small business. But that was the first area because of good mentorship in the world of business from our founder, John Moore. And I think being a successor, taking over a firm that someone else started made it easier to feel like a steward because I was taking over something that always belonged to God, but was led by somebody else. And so I simply stepped in as the role of a leader. Again, even though if you looked at the IRS records and our S Corp, history, I became the shareholder. And that has extended for me, Steve, into how I look at my relationships with my coworkers, the employees that work for our firm who are wonderful people. And I am a steward of their careers and their opportunities just as they are. And I'm a steward of the families we serve, the client relationships and the vendor relationships, the people who serve our business. And so in that area, I often feel, even though it's an area of significant responsibility for me, Steve, I actually feel sometimes less fearful and pressured in the areas of business than I do in my personal finances, just because that's the area where I feel strongest, this sense of stewardship versus ownership.
Yeah, I want to share a similar story, my own story, when it comes to now I'm the general manager at KLYT. That wasn't always the case. I walked in the doors for the first time in the 80s and found a volunteer opportunity to sweep floors, clean toilets, empty garbages, and whatever else, concert set up and tear down, and eventually moved into being trained to do some on-air activity and took a position, maybe a volunteer as a PSA director. And I slowly moved my way up to music director, program director, operations over the years, over decades. Only recently, our general manager since 2000 at KLYT was Chip Lusko until he graduated to heaven a couple years ago, April. And shortly after that, I was put in the position of general manager. And I think more than ever at that point, since, although I've, people that I answer to in ministry, the board and what have you, that, for the day to day, I'm pretty much the buck stops here. And, people who would come on the air and thank us, oh, thank you so much for having this organization on the air, on this show to talk about, whatever. And I really do feel like the Lord's done a work in my heart because, look, I've told people this. I say, I'm not a nice guy. I fear the Lord, and I know eventually I'm going to stand in front of him and be held accountable for how I stewarded KLYT and what, what he had me to oversee, like you are with your business at John Moore Associates, but similar, and it's the practicing, of that mindset, Brian, I think that makes it just come so much more easily.
I think so. And you were kind of like me, Steve, where you didn't found KLYT. You didn't build the facility where you reside. You didn't start the radio ministry. So maybe that makes it a little easier too, but what I find with personal finances, Steve, which is always the core of our conversation when it comes down to it, is because we earn income and we save those dollars and build our wealth and buy our home and buy our cars, we think that we own those things because we made some effort in our careers or in our investing to generate income. And therefore we feel like, well, I earned that and that's mine. And that's an easy attitude to carry. And I don't judge people who have that attitude because it's the default, right? It's if you see somebody who's really leaning into that attitude, then I think it's an opportunity to witness. I sat on a panel one time with other financial advisors, and one of the advisors didn't have a biblical mindset, and we were talking a lot about discussing charitable giving with our clients. And the other advisor said, you know, I always hear all this stuff about giving back and, oh, my company gives back and I give back. He says, why would I give back? No one gave this to me. I earned this. And to actually hear somebody verbalize that in an audience is actually pretty off-putting, Steve. So I think the stewardship mindset is not only the biblical one in truth for a believer, but the opposite is also kind of just gross to hear, you know, that someone would be so arrogant and sort of ignore that most of us that have had some measure of success, whether it's you in your leadership role, Steve, or me in mine, we're gifted through God's grace, great mentors, great positions, great opportunities. I mean, we could have easily not had those advantages, not had those. And it doesn't take away any hard work that we've given, but to think that it's just our own doing that we are where we are today is definitely not a biblical mindset. And it's one that to me just comes across as a little arrogant.
Yeah. Well, Brian, as far as illustrating and verbalizing how you feel when someone says something like that, why would I give? I earned everything I have. It's mine. Charles Dickens introduced us to Ebenezer. And I think that's a pretty good example of how not to be. Of course, we saw redemption in that story. And there's redemption possible if you're listening and you're not hearing, something you think that is your attitude. Well, God can change your heart. And we encourage you to pray for that and seek out tools. Brian, you and I regularly encourage people to go to johnmoore.com and click on the Insights tab. It's a searchable index, and even the last couple of articles, blogs, covering generosity and charitable planning. We would also encourage listeners on this topic to be regular in listening to Faith and Finance at 4:30 in the morning or 11:30 in the morning on KLYT. If you miss it at those times, you can go to klyt.fm, click on the schedule, and find it on the schedule and click there and hear that day's broadcast. So plenty of places and material and ways to get educated in how to have that stewardship mindset. Brian, before we go to a break and prepare to talk about generosity being a lifestyle related somewhat to what we've already covered somewhat, but any more on the stewardship mindset?
Nope, I love the foundation. So thanks, Steve, for letting us get into that.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and come back with more right after this on ABQ Connect.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect.
Well, thanks for listening to The Light. I'm so glad you tune in throughout the day to be equipped with great Bible teaching, programs covering relevant issues to you and your family, and on ABQ Connect in the 1 o'clock hour daily, covering topics that we hope equip you or put you in a better position to assist others that maybe need some of the information that we're sharing. We're spending the full hour today talking with the president of John Moore Associates, johnmoore.com, Brian Cochran, about the topic of generosity. And in our first segment, kind of laid down the foundation, stewardship being a mindset, and you know, looking at that, at stewardship through a biblical worldview lens, everything we're talking about today through a biblical worldview lens. In this segment, Brian, we wanted to cover generosity as a lifestyle, and there's kind of a three bullet point regular go-to we've talked about on this broadcast. I know we'll cover that, but where would you like to start?
Yeah, so I think really talking about, as we set up in the first segment there, that God owns everything. So in all areas of our life, we are a steward. And so what that also means is in all areas of our life, we have opportunities to be generous. And we often call that a lifestyle of generosity, rather than just thinking about our giving as our charitable giving with our money as our only area of generosity, or only thinking about the money we give as the only spiritual decision we make. Because if everything belongs to God and all of my money is really God's money, then whether I'm spending it, saving it, paying off a debt, paying my taxes, all those are now spiritual decisions, because it's all, you know, the resources of our Father. So just want to talk a little bit now about just what does it mean to live a lifestyle of generosity, and why are we called to do that? And I think it's a good challenge.
Yeah, you know, when it comes to our health physically, Brian, I know I've regularly talked to people about nutrition, and, you know, it's not fad, you know, diets and something you do for a time and then you go back to, you know, not practicing things that are so good. When it comes to our diet, and again, not a fad diet, but, you know, a deer's diet is grass. What are we regularly going to be practicing in that lifestyle, in nutrition and what we eat? And the same is applicable here, that generosity needs to become a lifestyle. It's not something we try for a little while, and then when it gets to a certain point, we discontinue that. There's ways to practice and learn generosity that we can make it something permanent that truly is a lifestyle.
Yeah, and 1 Timothy, where Paul's telling Timothy what to tell others about giving, he says, command them to be good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. So if we're only supposed to be generous in terms of giving, then why would Paul talk about being rich in good deeds? And in 2 Corinthians, Paul writes that you'll be enriched in every way, not just financially, in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So again, when we talk about people who really exemplify the stewardship mindset, they're often generous in ways that go beyond just how they give. Because I'll be honest with you, Steve, I can think of a few people I know who are quick to give money, sometimes from a legalistic point of view. They feel like they're supposed to do that, so they do it. But they don't carry that generosity of spirit. And I always hope that they'll kind of catch that bug, you know, at some point, the generosity bug. And we all know someone who may not be particularly generous, or maybe doesn't have a lot of financial resources, but boy, do they exemplify that generosity of spirit. And they're great people to be around. You know, you gravitate towards people like that. And so what I often think about on this is, if every minute I have is a gift from God, if everything I own belongs to God, then I should be looking to be generous as is appropriate for each circumstance. Maybe that means you're holding the door for someone who's carrying some stuff into a building. Maybe it means that you're staying a little late at work to help out a coworker who's behind. Maybe it means if you're a student that you help out the kid sitting next to you who's struggling with learning a lesson and getting the work done in class that day. There's a million opportunities all of us see every day. The question is, are we approaching things with that mindset of generosity? And then I think if that is your lifestyle, then when the financial decisions come about, then your financial giving is just one more step in that direction.
Yeah, and you know, when we practice it, others see it. You know, I was thinking recently about being at a gathering at a friend's house, and one of the people were preparing to leave, and you know, it was a large group of people, and he said, "Hey, I'm gonna go fix your float real quick on a swamp cooler." And it was like twilight or darker than that. And I thought, and I was like, you're going to do that right now? Yeah, nobody, you know, and you know, it was a gathering. It was like, you know, usually something like that, you think, hey, you know, I'm going to schedule this. And it was just so, spur of the moment. And yeah, let's just do it. Let's get it done. Let's help you out. And how much that resonated with me. That, you know, I've helped people with their swamp cooler before, but it was so spontaneous, in his, generosity of his time and talent, it wasn't much time, to be honest with you. He had to readjust the float. For those of you who work on a swamp cooler, would we be prepared to do that at a, you know, evening gathering where a bunch of people are, you know, the streets full of cars and It was just, but I think what struck me the most is, you know, when we practice those things, that others notice and that shouldn't, I'm not saying to let that, inspire you to do it, but, the encouraging part there is, you're encouraging others to consider being, you know, as generous with your time and talent.
Absolutely. And that example, Steve, I love it because for that person to give up that little bit of time and something that he knows how to do that he probably takes for granted, you know, the amount he's giving compared to what the person's receiving is imbalanced, right? It's a small sacrifice for possibly a big reward for that person. I think that's how so much of generosity works. A little bit, if we just tithe a little bit of our energy, tithe a little bit of our joy, our patience, you know, all those things are available and we have them. But if we can just share a little bit of that, often the reward for the recipient of our generosity is huge. And, you know, I think of one of our clients who's a physician and she gives up a few weeks every year to go do ministry around the world and to give a medical ministry. And yes, she has to pay a little bit for her travel. And yes, she gives up time. But the reward she's giving relative to the amount of time she has compared to the year or the effort she has to give there is, I mean, she's giving life-changing care that will permanently change the trajectory of these people's lives or maybe save their lives. And she's giving them, you know, her witness, her spiritual gifts. And for her, it's 2 weeks of vacation. I mean, the give and take in these opportunities of generosity is just amazing. And then the reward she gets emotionally is far more than what she's giving up in terms of her time and resources. So I think that's how generosity often works. And once again, we can translate that then to our finances and say, wow, I have all of this that God has given me. What if I just gave a little bit? It's kind of that old thing, Steve, when you see those old ads about, you know, for a dollar a day or the cost of a cup of coffee every day, you can change someone's life. I mean, that's really true in many cases.
Yeah.
Whether it's money or time or, again, emotional gifts that you can give.
Yeah. So generosity as a lifestyle, really start thinking about it that way, and not just financially, but with your time, with your talent, and with your treasure. I think those were a couple of great examples. And we're up against a break, Brian, but 30 seconds, any closing thoughts on this segment?
I just would take all of these things as principles, concepts, and think about them both in the financial world and the non-financial world. This is the Friday financial update, so we're going to talk money a lot. But some people might say, I don't really have margin in my life to give financially right now. I can't find that space in my spending plan. But again, the beauty of biblical principles is they are transcendent. They work for our money. They work for our relationships, for our work. It's the beauty of God's word as it translates across. So think about it big picture.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to look at generosity as something that should be goal oriented and leave some room for spontaneity as well. We'll get into more talk on that with Brian Cochran, president of John Moore Associates, right after this on ABQ Connect.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect.
We are spending the full hour today with Brian Cochran. He's the president of John Moore Associates, johnmoore.com. Sponsor, by the way, of Faith and Finance that you hear daily at 4:30 a.m. and afternoons. It's afternoon somewhere when it's 11:30 here. So 4:30 in the morning, 11:30 in the morning on KLYT, as well as throughout the day at various times, the Faith 5 Minutes that you hear. Rob West always doing a great job and great guests. As I mentioned earlier this week, Sharon Epps, Brian, who is the president of Kingdom Advisors and co-founder of Women Doing Well. She spent some time on the show talking about generosity. You can go to klyt.fm, click on schedule, and actually not only listen to today's program there, when you click on Faith and Finance, but go and find previous programs and listen to these conversations on the topic Brian and I are covering. Generosity is the topic and Brian, it is something, as I mentioned going into the break, that can be very goal oriented. We can set goals for our generosity. We can also leave room for spontaneity. And I think some of that speaks to us talking about generosity even in July or as we head into August, as opposed to it's last quarter, it's time to think about our opportunity to be generous. So we'll jump into more talk about that, but let's start with goal-oriented generosity. Brian, what encouragement would you give to the listener?
Yeah, I think where this starts, Steve, is not giving by accident, making giving a key part of how you allocate God's resources. And we've talked before, Steve, about the categories of live, give, owe, and grow. Those are the four main places we put our money. We either spend it on our lifestyle, that's the live. We share it, that's the give. We pay debts and taxes, that's the owe. Or we save for the future, that's the grow. So every dollar I have will go in one of those four buckets. There's lots of little things inside those buckets, but there's really only four ways money can go. Live, give, owe, grow. So what we find, though, is if people only rely on spontaneous giving, where they just suddenly feel prompted and happen to also have the money available to share, they often don't give. So giving often starts with making an intentional allocation, the first fruits, as scripture calls us to give. Make it a priority. So before you spend on yourself, before you pay those debts and taxes, that you share and you give. And if you start there, that doesn't mean you can't give more later. But if you make giving a priority, that's a good place to start. What that looks like for some families is they're every month they automatically move money into a charitable fund, like a donor advised fund. We'll talk about that more in our fourth segment. Or they automatically give to various ministries on a monthly basis on the first of the month or the 15th of the month so that they don't have to think about their gifts. They just happen. And that's one way to make sure that giving is not just relied totally on spontaneous giving, but to actually just give as a matter of habit and priority.
Yeah, you know, Brian, a while back, it's been a while, but I brought up this illustration from the Bible one time, and you really kind of opened my eyes to what was going on there. You know, we're talking about, I brought up how when people would reap the field, you know, when they would harvest, they would leave the corners for those in need. And to me, it almost felt like, you know, well, you know, this is just, I mean, however their machines work, or even 2,000 years ago, however the process was, the corners, you know, it'd be kind of round. You'd harvest kind of round in the corner, but the corners would be left. I think I felt like it was almost a more spontaneous giving, which maybe sometimes it was, but you reminded me that, I mean, this was something they planned. They knew they were going to leave that in way of charity and generosity.
Absolutely. And that's really how anything can work in finances. If it's important to you, prioritize it and you plan for it and you make sure that you've allocated something towards that. And it's a great way to start any allocation of your income is to think about your giving first, because often when we wait for the leftovers to give, there's just nothing left over, especially in our very consumeristic society, Steve. You've just got so many things you can spend money on. You know, leaving leftovers is not the best way to give. And again, that doesn't mean you can't give on a prompted basis or wait for God's calling, but allocating a percentage there. We also have the mix of prompting and planned. And what I mean by that, Steve, is I know several people who keep extra cash in their wallets or in their vehicle. They plan to be prompted, meaning that they've set aside money that is designed to be given when a need arises. That could be a person in need at the gas station. It could be a neighbor who says things are tight. It could be an opportunity to share with a young college student, you know, that's struggling and could just use a good meal and an extra $20, let them go out to lunch rather than eat ramen at the dorm room. You know, but so it's a mix where they've planned space and created margin. They don't know where it's going to go yet, but they've set that money aside. And they don't care about the tax deduction. They just want to be able to share. And if they didn't have that money sitting in their car or in extra money in their wallet at that moment, they may not feel equipped to share. So they plan to be prompted. They expect that God's going to show them an opportunity to be generous, and they want to be ready to lean into that.
Yeah, I know people, you back to an example, because I think these are applicable and may give ideas to some of our listeners. But I know people maybe more in the cooler months because no one wants a hot bottle of water. But, you know, they'll mm-hmm. keep water in their car by the case. So, you know, we may not all appreciate, you know, getting to street corners and seeing panhandling, which is in Albuquerque is a big, big thing. But we can share the love of Christ and care for people and be generous by just providing refreshment and mm-hmm. a bottle of water. And that's one of those areas, you know, you were talking about, you know, some people that maybe keep a little extra, you know, tucked away somewhere in their wallet or another great example. But back to what we were talking about in our previous segment, in spite of the fact this is a Friday financial update, we want to remind our listeners that generosity can be shown in so many different ways.
Absolutely. And I think when you lean more on the prompted side, I guess you can plan to be prompted, but just leaving your heart open to other generosity opportunities. And this is where leaving the more legalistic side of giving and going towards more Christ-like giving, where you're just meeting people where they are as God presents them to you. That might mean you end up giving more than you planned. It might mean you give differently than you planned. But the idea is to be ready to say yes to opportunities for generosity. And again, it may not be a certain ministry coming to you saying, we need this much money for this project. It could just be an opportunity to pick up a check at a restaurant or stop and pray for a friend. It doesn't have to be just the financial gifts and the traditional tax deductible, you know, qualified charity sense. It could just be having that awareness. But if our eyes are closed or we have the blinders on and we're not looking for those opportunities to be generous, then we miss them. And again, this is an area, Steve, where, you know, you might think of somebody in particular as I'm saying this, that's really good about this. They always seem to know how to step up and love their neighbor and be generous. But I think the folks who do both here are the ones who often have the most joy because they know they're going to give and they're ready and they're prepared and they're planned for their giving. But also they do not shy away from opportunities when an opportunity to be generous is presented. And I don't know about you, Steve. I've missed some of those opportunities in the past. And boy, do you kick yourself if you saw it and you just didn't have the courage or you were a little too selfish in the moment or you were a little too rushed. You don't have enough margin in terms of time in your life. And you don't step into that opportunity. Oh, it just doesn't feel right. And I think it's because we're made in the image of a generous God who does give when those opportunities come. And when we miss it, it stings a little bit, doesn't it?
It does. And I want to go back to the story you mentioned about a client who is a doctor who in the year they give time and resources to go elsewhere and provide at no cost, medical assistance elsewhere on the globe. And in sharing that story, Brian, you shared how blessed they are by it. And that's something I think to lean into a little bit, because every time, you know, we talk about short-term missions or long-term missions or, you know, we have this mindset, I'm going to bless someone. And that's good. But the truth is, by the time it's all said and done, we're the ones who are blessed. And we're the ones who, come away, better than we were prior to doing it. I want to, before we, close on this segment, speaking to, planned and prompted generosity. Maybe this is a stretch, but I want to say it. I'm a little biased. I was raised in the military and have a special place in my heart for those who serve in the military and for first responders. But if you think about it, and not necessarily in a financial way, but these are positions that people take that ultimately, they could give the ultimate sacrifice and the ultimate gift, to the people they're serving with their life. And now listen, I don't believe many, if any, go into those positions like, all right, I'm giving my life. And are excited about, you know, sacrificing their life, but it's something that is understood in these positions. They're a high risk, and potentially could end up that way. I just want to throw that out. mad respect for those who in their daily occupation, their vocation, are being generous with what they have for those in their community.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a good example, Steve, that we're all called to give differently. And we all have unique skills and opportunities to give. And some people lean into ones that are a little more of a sacrifice than others. But that doesn't mean that we can't all be generous, you know, with yeah. what we have and our stories and our opportunities. So I think it's huge. So I'd say, you know, in closing for this segment, ask yourself, where am I planning my giving? Have I built a giving plan that starts with my purpose, leans into organizations that I know need help? And where am I leaving space that I can be prompted? And that's really what it's about for the prompting, is just not running yourself so lean financially and with your time and your energy that you don't have space to be generous. And there might be little moments in your life where that's true, but not making that your lifestyle where you're where you don't have that space to be generous. So think about your plan. Think about your ability to be prompted. If you have both of those running well, it's a lot easier to be generous.
All right. Well, we got another segment to get through. We're visiting with Brian Cochran, president of John Moore Associates, johnmoore.com. And in our final segment, we're going to equip you. There's some tools for generosity we want to share. We're going to do that when we come back from the break on ABQ Connect.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Well, it's Friday, and the final segment of the show is typically our Friday financial update. We were actually fortunate to spend the whole day today with Brian Cochran, the president of John Moore Associates. I should say the whole hour. We could probably spend a day, Brian. There's so much to talk about when it comes to the topic of generosity. But, you know, we've covered in our first segment having a stewardship mindset, and then in our second segment, making generosity a lifestyle. And that means your time, your talent, and your treasure. Consider all of those things. And then in our last segment, goal-oriented generosity as opposed to spontaneity, and almost planning to be spontaneous as well. Planned versus prompted generosity, and you reminded us of the four bullet points when it comes to our resources, that we need to learn to live with our resources that we have, give, owe, and grow. And if you missed that, find it in the archives at abqconnect.online after the show today. Certainly, by Monday it should be posted. In this segment, Brian, we wanted to talk about tools for generosity. And I have some ideas, but I'm really looking forward to hearing, from you. And you are someone who practices generosity. So I know you've even had people probably come to you and ask you for these tools. So you are more than ready, I'm sure, to share with our audience.
Yeah, I thought I'd focus today, Steve, on the three tools and strategies that we use the most with the families we serve. And it's fun because I actually just this week got to open two different clients' eyes to these tools. And both of them, I'd shared these tools before, but didn't really click how they worked. And this time it clicked. And boy, is that fun when those lights go off and we're going to see both those families accelerate in their generosity because of these tools. And the first of those, and probably the one we can spend the most time on, Steve, because I think it's just an amazing tool, is a donor advised fund. And the simple way to describe a donor advised fund that I've seen very successful is it's like a charitable checking account. A donor advised fund is a tool you can use. It's an account you open, a fund you open with basically a community foundation style organization, a nonprofit that allows you to make gifts to that fund that are tax deductible if you itemize your tax deductions. And then you can pass those gifts out of that charitable checking account onto your favorite qualified charities. And it gives you a lot of flexibility and latitude in your donations and your charitable giving, as well as some other benefits that we can talk about in terms of extra bonuses and that enhance it over your typical just giving out of a checking account, out of your personal bank account, right into a charitable entity.
Okay, so that's one tool for the tool belt, donor advised fund. And Brian, I may be bushwhacking you with this question. A search at Insights on the mm-hmm. johnmoore.com website for donor advised fund. Will our listeners find information there?
Yeah, it's a common tool we talk about within our writing and in our teaching, because it is so flexible and so powerful, and it's become pretty prominent. A lot of people have probably heard of this by now, but if you haven't, it'd be good to talk to a professional advisor and see if a donor advised fund might be the right tool for you. Our favorite provider on donor advised funds for John Moore Associates is the National Christian Foundation. National Christian Foundation is based out of Atlanta, but they have affiliate offices all over the country, including one based out of Phoenix. It's called NCF Southwest. They have a wonderful team that can help you with setting up your fund, explaining how it works, explaining if it's the right fit for you. But a couple things that I'll note, Steve, that really make the donor advised fund powerful is, anybody who gives to many charities and is trying to keep those records for their tax purposes knows that sometimes if you give to 5, 10, 20 charities, gathering those gift receipts can be a bit of a pain. But if you have a donor advised fund, you can give to your donor advised fund and let the fund distribute assets to those charities. And the only gift receipt you require is the one that, you know, of you giving your assets to the fund. So that's a big deal for my family. We like to support various organizations. But at the end of the year, every year, I only have one gift receipt that I need to share with my accountant for tax purposes, which saves me a lot of headaches. The second thing we really like about a donor advised fund is that I can make my gifts anonymous. So if I want to write a check to a charity, I need to get a gift receipt to receive the tax benefits. My name's on the check, my address, so they can give me the gift receipt. But again, if I'm giving from my donor advised fund, I've already received my charitable deduction. I can make the gift anonymous. And where I run into this a lot, Steve, is if we have one of our clients pass away, I might send a gift to their favorite charity in recognition of their life and in celebration of their life, as is common. You'll see that in obituaries, opportunities to give. But I don't necessarily want to get solicitations from that organization for future giving. You know, it's a one-time event, recognizing that person that has passed. That's one example where giving anonymously can be powerful and helpful. And the third, and probably for our clients, the most impactful thing we can do with a donor advised fund, Steve, is we can have a gift of appreciated assets. Basically, we can own stocks or mutual funds that have gone up in value, and we can send those to our donor advised fund to be sold and then distributed to charity. And where that's helpful, Steve, is not every organization is equipped to receive shares of a stock. So if I have bought XYZ Corporation stock and it goes up in value, if I give that to my donor advised fund or to a charity, I don't have to pay the capital gains taxes associated with the appreciation in that stock.
Right, and nor does the person or the organization receiving.
Exactly. Thank you for calling that out. So nobody's paying that capital gains tax. And I still get to deduct the fair market value of that stock with certain restrictions. So it's good to work with your accountant if you want to see if this is the right strategy for you. But so I can grow my assets and then share the benefits of that growth with charities without having to cross, you know, the sale of that stock and pay any tax. So I'm giving anonymously. I don't need a dozen gift receipts. I can gift my appreciated assets there. It really makes giving a lot easier. And you can imagine with all those advantages how people may give more if they have access to something like a donor advised fund.
Very good. So that's just one of the tools that you can use for generosity. Another tool, Brian?
The other tool we use all the time is a qualified charitable distribution. A qualified charitable distribution, or QCD, is a donation out of your retirement account. So if you have an IRA where you've saved on a pre-tax basis, those are untaxed dollars that were intended for your retirement. If you are over age 70 and a half, you are allowed to give up to $111,000 in 2026 out of your IRA and give it directly to charity. Now, why would you do that? As most people know, if you're over a certain age, right now it's age 73, you have to take money out of your IRA. It's required. It's called a required minimum distribution. And if you don't need those dollars, or you don't need all of those dollars that are required for you to take, you can give some of that to charity. Giving via QCD does meet your required distribution, but that distribution does not show up on your gross income for tax purposes. So it's a very powerful reduction in your income to be able to pass that directly to charity. It's very simple. to execute, and it has a powerful tax benefit for you as the donor.
All right. Well, we're actually just about out of time, Brian, but if there's any more tools you want to share quickly, I want to give you opportunity to do that. And if not, just closing thoughts about all that we've talked about today in regards to generosity and how we can all flex those muscles and practice and be prepared to do so.
Well, I think just recapping our four segments today, Steve, you know, start with, if, do you really believe God owns everything? And that not just your tithe or your giving, but all of your assets are God's, and therefore all of your money decisions are spiritual decisions. If you haven't gotten there yet, I would really seek that mindset and look for role models in that space. And then second, you know, really thinking, where does that extend across my entire lifestyle, not just my giving at the end of the year, but how I carry myself every day? And then third, am I planned to give? Do I have a strong giving plan with space to be prompted? And then fourth, what tools are available that I may not use today that could help me in my giving journey to maximize the tax benefits of my giving, to enhance the amount that I might give, or just to make my giving more convenient and more fun by taking away some of the headaches around giving. So I think just kind of going through those steps as you think about your generosity and checking those boxes could help hopefully some of these listeners move forward in that journey.
Well, we just went to class for a full hour today with Brian Cochran, president of John Moore Associates, and the class was Generosity 101. We've mentioned the Insights tab not only today but other days. It's on johnmoore.com. Go to Insights, a free resource. There you'll find, well, all kinds of information, but more recently an article from Andy Ferguson on how charitable planning can create more impact and more clarity. And then Kale Judge, an article she wrote, Teaching Generosity to Kids. And there's so much more there. Brian, as always, thanks for your time and your generosity. Generosity with your time. And yeah. Thank you for regularly really equipping us to be better stewards of the things God's entrusted to us. Look forward to having you on again real soon.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, and thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.